Sustain 267.
Welcome to the Sustain 267 podcast, where we look at environmental issues affecting climate change in Botswana and the rest of Africa. I'm your host, Batlukile Sitse. I'm quite excited about today's episode because we have finally hit the 21st and last episode of season one of Sustain 267 podcast. So I felt it only right that we do a giveaway to appreciate the people who inspire me to put out episodes and listen and even interact with them. I am so grateful for you. In that spirit and the festive spirit, in this episode, we'll be looking at sustainable gifting. With the commoditization of Christmas and most holidays and events, really, we find ourselves shopping for gifts and possibly consuming way more than we usually would or quite frankly should. For this episode, we'll be looking at, is there a way to do that more sustainably, and trying to understand what sustainable gifting even means, and plugging some Botswana businesses that you can consider for gifting your friends, family, the team at work, or even clients. Joining us for this conversation is Thato Angela Chuma. She is a creative entrepreneur, an artist, a writer, curator, and cultural activist. She's the founder of Social Enterprise, an advocacy business arm, The Local Slice BW, which seeks to nurture a vibrant entrepreneurial culture in Botswana by fostering the positioning of local products, services, and innovations at the forefront. Her professional and creative work largely focus on active inclusion and the preservation of Indigenous perspectives. I'd like to also slide in a shout out to The Local Slice BW, because usually when I am gifting, I go on either their Twitter or Facebook page to see what cool stuff is out there locally. And they've helped me with quite a couple of ideas when it came to gifting friends and colleagues. The Local Slice BW was also shortlisted as a national finalist for the 2019 Southern Africa Startup Awards under the Social Impact category. To start off with the very basics, I asked Thato, what does sustainable gifting mean to her?
I believe it to be gifting in a way that is environmentally friendly and it's quite sustainable. Relative to one's environment, like if you are operating as a business, it's just you being mindful of your surroundings and making sure that whatever it is that you incorporate into your business is sustainable. But the gifting element, of course, when you put together a gifting hamper, for example, maybe elements that are quite sustainable to the environment, very friendly and eco-friendly. That's what I understand about it.
Yeah, I like what you say when you say to your, I think you said your environment, which is so, which makes a lot of sense, because sometimes what is sustainable for me to gift with Botswana is not what's sustainable for me to gift with in Ethiopia. It's not sustainable in another part of the continent or another part of the world. So that's actually a really good point. And then you're a big advocate for supporting local businesses. And I think that's if I understand it correctly, that's a bulk of the work that you do. Where do these two meet in terms of supporting Botswana businesses in Botswana or local businesses within different communities? And sustainability.
I think what we really want to have as part of our mandate is for small businesses to be responsible in areas that they work and not only just be profit-minded. So the sustainability element becomes important in that aspect. But what we've noticed is we don't really understand sustainability, what it entails, what it is, who it speaks to, and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, even myself, I really wouldn't say I'm very learned or I'm very knowledgeable in sustainability and ways in which you can incorporate much more eco-friendly factors into your business, for example. It's something that I'm still trying to learn. You know, so with small businesses, I think it becomes a conversation that we also need to drive in terms of education, because I don't think, especially in Botswana, the sustainability element is driven and emphasized as much as it needs to be. So it's something that I believe as the local slice, we really want to see how we can play a part there as advocates of course, you know, small businesses being able to survive in the markets that they are playing in, but also that responsibility aspect to be mindful. I mean, I know a couple of businesses currently that we sometimes work with that are very sustainability minded. There's Le Sweetie Diaries. She's a fashion designer. I think recently she did masks. She designed masks that are eco-friendly. I think the material is eco-friendly. And then there's House of Divinity. She sources her jewelry material very sustainably as well. Who else? And some of the gifting companies, I think gifts by Bee uses these wooden boxes to as packaging. So they are, you know, a few small businesses that are going into that route, but we don't know how to really dive in and support them, because, you know, they are having that very important element in that business.
You know what I'm actually finding as you talk about some of the local businesses maybe aren't aware of it and aren't doing it. What I'm finding, Hella, from looking at what to gift friends and family and so forth, I'm finding that by default, people are doing it and they sometimes don't realize that this is actually sustainable environment. Environmentally sustainable gifting, because it's such a part of who we are as people. Hello, we've always been people who preserve people. If you look at the kind of gifts that traditionally we would give, boditlatlana and that kind of thing from, let's say, the older people, those were gifts that they would give you, gifts that are natural to the environment there. And even now, when small businesses are looking for, let's say, what to package their gifts in, these boxes have become quite popular. And a lot of them are from upcycled pallets. And some people, it's just a thing of, okay, it's convenient, it's cute. But if you look at it, it's a thing of, you are giving the tree that would have been a pallet and its life ended up being a pallet so much longer. It's now going, being repurposed into another home and giving it a whole new life. So I think maybe sometimes we're just not really capitalizing and branding as environmentally sustainable when we are already doing the work, which I sometimes think is important.
The more we teach people what it is and what it looks like, I think I'll just draw a little parallel, although it's a bit off topic, like how feminism is, you know, how people are feminists, are in fact feminists in the way that they view the world, but they don't define themselves as feminist. You understand? So it's more of that, what you just spoke about, how we are sustainable, conscious, like unconsciously, because it's part of our culture. We are taught to preserve things, but we tend to not be very, I don't know, we don't like labels a lot. We don't try to define ourselves through labels and what we do through labels.
I guess then it becomes a thing of, but is the label that important if the work is being done, you know?
Yeah, there's that element as well. But I think it is. You know, I think it is sometimes important to name things for what they are and how important they are, because if you do something that's really critical to your environment in a positive way, it's you know, personally, I just view it as something that's important to be highlighted, you know. and for your consumers as well, who would want to engage and purchase products and or use services that are aligned somewhat to their values and what they believe needs to be done by companies. I think that's important. So in that aspect, I think it's definitely important to highlight it.
On labeling, in continuing the conversation, when I think of you, I think of local businesses, local business advocate, support local.
Yeah.
Why did you choose to go down this path?
I really did it because I would have loved for somebody to do that for me. You understand? Does that make sense? Because at the time I started the Local Slice, you know, I started it off where, you know, on my personal page on Facebook, and it was just three hashtags, like support local, buy local, share local, because I could tell that there's a definite gap in terms of visibility around what we're doing in Botswana parallel to entrepreneurship. The visibility was not there. And I really got the insight from my journalism days, where I would interview somebody doing crafts or, you know, painting, and nobody knows about what they're doing. And I'd be like, but such great work. Like, where is it? Where can people find it? And it would be always, well, I don't really have anywhere to really sell this. Or sometimes I'll try promotion, but I don't have the time. And that sort of, you know, led to the Local Slice becoming what it is. So I was really doing what I thought was necessary at the time, and I enjoyed it. I think that the most important thing is because I really enjoyed pushing it and strategizing and coming up with these, you know, ideas of how we can promote these products and catalog them. So it was really fun for me, and I guess it sort of led to the gap of, okay, but now you can really, really do this, you know, as a social enterprise, as something that would function as a community for entrepreneurs.
So I get that you saw a gap and you were working to fill that gap. But since then, have you seen that there actually is a demand for the local products? Because before you were saying that they're there, but is there actually a demand? And then filtering it down to our conversation today, is there a demand for sustainably produced, not just gifts, but just locally produced sustainable goods?
I think there is, especially because we are in a world that is currently experiencing shifting values. You know, sometimes I don't want to use something that I know is going to be harmful to the environment or harmful to my dogs or harmful to my kids. So in that aspect, I think people are becoming more conscious of what they use and if it all is, it's aligned to what they believe, that they believe in, just really basically. So there is a demand, but I don't think it's as visible and it's as loud as what we currently would just buy unconsciously or just from a day to day. And I think that's why we need to really highlight the importance of sustainability in various ways and educate people that it is quite important. Even the entrepreneurs themselves need to be educated on why sustainability is important, because most of the time they don't see it as something that involves profit, you know. And I think that's why when you mention eco-friendly, it's going to be very expensive. Oh, it's going to be something that is really not profitable and out of reach. So there's those misconceptions, I believe, currently that would need to be just demystified a bit for people to understand that it's in fact sometimes more affordable to be sustainable than it is just doing your day-to-day business activities that you've been doing.
As you're saying that, actually, what comes to mind, because we're going to talk about money and just that sometimes local does tend to be a tad bit more expensive, but sometimes not really, because when you look at the leather products, especially when you're buying them, you're buying top quality leather products. And maybe it doesn't have a huge globally recognized brand, but this is something that will be in your closet for a very long time to come. And this is something that could even turn into an heirloom for your family.
And the other factor is, you know, as we talk to entrepreneurs and some of the challenges that they encounter, the production costs. The reason why a lot of local products are expensive is just the unit price of production is, you know, for them to source the materials that would, for example, be cheaper to source in South Africa. If they're sourcing it here, it becomes more expensive, and they need to now, of course, just to be practical about that, businesses, and to produce just one unit of something in Botswana for most of these local product entrepreneurs, it's quite challenging to then try and match the prices of other multinationals that are producing in bulk and are doing mass production. So that's another element that we have to be conscious about when we're saying, oh my God, local is so expensive. It's, if we capacitate production, if we make sure how they source their raw materials, if they are readily available and accessible, I think that would drastically reduce some of these prices that we feel are very expensive. So that's one challenge I wanted to highlight. But then again, you know, when something is handmade and it has involved a very intricate process to be developed, it's something that we also have to factor in to say, okay, but this is really just, it's a leather product that somebody really took the time and took that creativity to make. And it's as valuable as any other label out there.
So as you're actually talking about that, the whole production, unit of production, and besides just the unit of production, the skill, there's this, I think it's popular throughout Africa. In Limpopo, Botswana, we see it happening, especially with your Instagram stores or your Facebook stores, where it's not something that's produced locally, but what they do is they import it and then they are just a reseller. So let's say it's quite popular within fashion and clothes and the like. Does that now count as supporting local?
In what sense?
So I'll give you an example. There's scarves. So I go on a popular Chinese website that bulk sells. I buy 50 scarves, 50 silk scarves for $3 each. I ship them here. And then when they get them here, I add my margin, and let's say I'm now selling them at $100, I mean, $10 each. If someone buys those scarves for me, so no value added, no sort of fancy, nothing, just all I'm doing is reselling. Does that then count as supporting local? Because I've always wondered about that.
It will be really just supporting Pato, because she has a business that she's running, but the product itself is not sourced from here, but the owner herself is from Botswana. So I think sometimes people look at it from that angle, that the owner, the ownership of that process of ordering and then adding your margin, it's owned by somebody who is here and is trying to make a living. And then maybe if they do make the profits that they make, then eventually they can have capacity to make their own scarves. So reselling, as much as it's not manufacturing in Botswana, I think for the fact that it's owned by a Botswana, then it becomes important.
Thank you for that, because that's something I'd always wondered. That's something that I'd personally wondered about when sometimes purchasing, is this really supporting local? Or thank you for that. Speaking of making money now.
Yeah.
mostly the money is in corporate in Botswana. If someone's looking at sustainable gifting, it's the end of the year. I know our conversation is happening rather late in the year, and some corporates have already done their packages and given them away. But if someone is looking to target corporates for those bulk orders and that big money, how do you get seen by corporates? How does one go around that?
I think that's something that we identified, me and my partner, when was it? I think in October, where we're like, sometimes corporates, because they never really have a readily available catalog of local products, and if they're available and if, you know, they can just readily get those products, it becomes very difficult for them to reach out to small businesses. So what we decided to do for December is to do an end of year gifting catalog, not with a lot of products, but at least just something that would give the corporates an idea of what's available right now. So we did that in collaboration with some of the small businesses, and we sent that to corporates. And the feedback that we got was quite surprising in a great way, because they're like, oh, we didn't know that there's a company that does these, is it diffusers? That's what they call them, right? Like diffusers?
Yeah.
Things like that, they didn't really know. They're not conscious of it. So I think if at all corporates knew what was readily available, because most of the time they do prioritize convenience, and they prioritize, of course, you know, reasonable or affordable prices, or something that they can get a discount on, let's say maybe because they're buying for staff, those sort of factors. And the small businesses in that aspect need somewhat of a, not really a middleman, but just somebody who incentivizes the corporates in a visual manner, like in the form of a catalog, to say, but this is available. You know, you don't need to buy your gin from South Africa. You can actually buy from here. You don't need to buy a diffuser from at home. You can buy it from a local business. So that gap showed us something. That response, it showed us khone khore. I don't know if the small businesses are not very proactive in calling up corporates, or maybe designing their own catalogs to say, but this is what I'm doing. I need to send it out to this one and this one and this one, just so that they are in the know of what we're producing.
So beyond concentrating on putting out a great product, also making sure that it's people actually know about it. And Local Slice then came in to put in that the final nuts and bolts, which is convenience.
Yeah, convenience has to be important, because if at all I'm used to producing 10 units per month, if I go to a corporate, I know for a fact it's not, the order is going to be a minimum of 10. I might have to produce 100. So what is my capacity? Can I then get a purchase order somewhere, or, you know, to capacitate me so that I can make sure that I can produce that amount, those kind of factors. So you'd find that a lot of SMEs sometimes can't even get a corporate order because they don't have capacity to produce at that, you know, that much of product. So the challenges are, they're so exhaustive, but there's always that level of really just crossing the hurdle, you know, if you plan right as a small business, if you make sure you can get that money somewhere else, and then Do you even for corporate sometimes, to at least give small businesses a 50% deposit on an order instead of a full payment on delivery? Those kind of things are stuff that we need to talk about so that everybody can function really from a small business perspective, that they can really capacitate their businesses. There's a lot of education that needs to happen, and there's a lot of awareness that needs to be drilled in I think our work is just beginning. Our work is
that was a very loud sigh. I felt that sigh. but I think the beauty of what you're talking about when you say there's so many challenges is that where there's so many challenges, there's also such great opportunity for solutions, which is where other people can come in. Even if you're not necessarily within mm-hmm. the gifting or sustainable gifting space, you can look at where are the gaps within this value chain that I can make it more efficient, and in that way maybe plug my own small business or growing mm-hmm. business. Let's not call it a small business. And yeah, the catalog that you speak of, is it publicly available, and how does one get their products onto it?
What we did is we had not a call out, but really just to say, if you want this catalog, you can just email us, because we didn't want to put it on was it Google Drive or WeTransfer it, or just a centralized place. If we had the resources to do that, I think we would have done it. But the most convenient thing that we thought to do was definitely to just ask people if they're interested in it, especially the corporates, because that was who we were mainly targeting. But if individuals also wanted them, just the catalog, then we were very open to that. And to be on the catalog, we had vetted out some of the small businesses that we know that production is quite consistent, the products are readily available, they can try and meet the demand of the corporates. That is who we highlighted and prioritized. But really, we are looking now to do more and more of these catalogs next year. So anyone who wants to be part of that catalog can just email us that product, that price, and maybe just a brief description of it, just to say, you know, you can use it, just a bit of practicality to say, this is a product you can use in your home or you can use at your office and that kind of thing.
Awesome. So what I'll also do, I'll add the email address for your business in the show notes in case anyone would like to get in touch with you. And then I'm going to ask you two more questions before we end our conversation. So the first question is, what would your tips be for gifters in terms of sustainable gifting? And then the second one is, if you were to recommend one local sustainably produced gift, what would it be? You can start with the tips while you think about the sustainable gift that you can recommend.
I think for the gifting, if I was a consumer, I would appreciate a small business showing me that process of, you know, ethically sourcing their raw materials and this and packaging it in a way that is ethically sourced, sustainably done. That's the process. That sort of visual appreciation goes a long way. And it's like you're showing people something, but also at the same time, you're showing them that you are very much aligned to that sustainable way of running your business. So it's like you're killing a bird with, is it what? How's the idiom? I lost it.
Killing two birds with one stone.
That's right. So
that's the one.
That's the one. So I think if they could really just take us through that processes, you know, it doesn't really even need a very expensive camera. It just needs your phone to say, this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm doing it. I would appreciate that definitely as a consumer. And the other thing is really just to be consistent about your marketing. You know, if at all you have 2 days in your week that you have an hour free as a small business owner, because I know they never have the time, make sure that every Wednesday you're putting up something about your product. It's very important for consistency to be there, because we know that the more consistent you are, the more people get to familiarize themselves with whatever it is that you're doing. So I'd say consistency plays a big role in people knowing about what you're doing. So they need to be more consistent about that promotion, about how they do, how that's that journey, that production journey as well. If they can highlight that, I think people do appreciate that. Those are the two things that really just come to mind. And then I think for me, the one that comes to mind, a local product, I think it's House of Divinity, because so far they've really done a great job. It's a jewelry company by Buitoko Kibakili. And she really does a great job of showing people her personality through her work. And she's very big into, you know, I'd say she's a chakrahan, you know, and you could really see it through her work. You could really see it through her work and how she really drills in the whole, I ethically source my gemstones and this is how I do it. I really love that because it takes you, it makes you appreciate whatever it is that you're going to get from her, because you know she's putting something of her into that. You understand? So I like that about her as an entrepreneur. I think more entrepreneurs need to show us that it's really not just about, you know, just the means to an end and getting your profit and going home. There's nothing wrong with it, but I think going the extra mile and really showing people that it's something you enjoy, it's something that you're also being community conscious about, those kind of things. If you highlight that, usually it does work for you in the long run.
As you said their name, I went onto their website, and the great thing is they ship globally. So I'm definitely also going to share their website. They have such beautiful pieces. They have gorgeous, gorgeous pieces. So I'll also share that in the show description. Kato, thank you so much for joining me to talk sustainable gifting, and thank you for the work that you do for supporting growing local businesses.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.